This summer, the Office of Sustainability is focusing our sustainable spotlight on people that are doing good sustainable work around the Charleston community. You can join us for more podcasts at synergies.cfc.edu. Welcome again to the Sustainability Spotlight Podcast at the Office of Sustainability. Emma and I are here today with Amanda Howell, who is the Program Director for the Greenheart Project here in Charleston. Thanks so much for coming. Let's begin. You can start by telling us a bit about yourself and how you got involved with Greenheart.
Great. Thanks for having me. So my name's Amanda Howell. As you said, I'm the program director with the Greenheart Project, and we are a local farm-to-school nonprofit organization. How did I get involved? So I moved down to Charleston after completing my master's degree in public health at UNC Chapel Hill, and Greenheart was really a perfect fit for me. I had focused my master's paper on developing evaluation systems for nonprofits just like the Greenheart Project. So with the idea that there are a ton of organizations like us out there having a ton of impact on students and communities, but it's not well measured and documented. So that was kind of my main focus. And when I found Greenheart, I decided to move down to Charleston and get started with them.
That's cool. Yeah, that perfectly leads into what exactly is the Greenheart Project?
Yeah, so we're under the umbrella of farm to school organizations, and so there's a lot of different kind of levels that entails, but we build garden-based experiential learning projects through school garden programs. And so we educate students, connect people, and cultivate community all through growing, eating, and celebrating food. So there's a lot of things that go into that, but essentially we go into elementary schools right now, 5 out of 6 of which are considered Title I, so low-income serving populations, and we build school gardens, and we see them as these outdoor learning labs where we can connect students to their food source, kind of from farm to table.
And who typically is out there teaching the students?
Yeah, so in our model, we have our program managers who usually have a background in education or working with kids and some sort of gardening knowledge coming in, and they are our educators. So they're out there working with the kids, teaching both our garden and culinary lessons, and they're supported by anywhere from 3 to 5 Greenheart buddies, we call them, who are our volunteers. So we actually have a lot of College of Charleston students, community members, and they are really vital to our model as well. They act as mentors for the students. So the kind of bigger lesson, kind of direct instruction is our program manager, but when we break into small groups, we have these volunteers who are supporting anywhere from 3 to 5 kids in small groups.
So they almost have these role models.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So is what they grow in the garden is incorporated back into like their school lunches?
Yeah, so we've really hit hard on this year. So we had done a little bit of this in the past. Usually our first priority is getting what the kids grow either into the lessons themselves. So when we are doing culinary lessons, we'll harvest from the garden and prepare a healthy recipe together. Otherwise, we will harvest and send things home with the kids. This year, our garden coordinator, Nate, who I'll give a shout out to, has really pushed working with the cafeterias to get these hundreds of pounds of produce back onto the cafeteria line. So that's been a big success of ours this year. We've got, you know, I think a couple hundred pounds of kale. We always do a big sweet potato harvest in the fall. I think we harvested almost 500 pounds. Last fall. Yeah. And so the kids, that's really cool for all the students to see what they grew end up back in the cafeteria. Yeah.
Do you find that once kids have like seen all these vegetables growing, like they're more likely to actually like eat it and like it?
Yep, exactly. And yeah, that's one of our big goals is something we measure is increasing willingness to try new foods. And so we see a big part of this as early exposure to healthy foods, changing the kids' palates. And so the first time they might not like kale, but by the second, third, fourth time, it's familiar. They grew it, they know exactly where it came from, and they're more likely to try it out and to like it.
It's really cool.
So what did you say, 500 pounds of sweet potatoes?
Mm-hmm.
So how many gardens do you guys have at this moment? Because that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. So we work in 6 schools, and each school has a garden. Our biggest is Mitchell Elementary on the Upper Peninsula, and we have our 5 raised beds, outdoor classroom there, and then across the street we also have an urban farm. And so that's an 1/8 of an acre, I believe. And that's where most of our sweet potatoes came from.
Okay,
but yeah, we do have them at every site though. And the kids get to participate in the harvest as well.
So what do you do with all those sweet potatoes?
Yeah, so we sent some home with kids for sure. We had to find somewhere to cure them. So we had to let them sit for a few weeks to get nice and sweet. And then we brought them back out to Mitchell's cafeteria. Sullivan's Island is is one of our sites as well. I think our North Charleston school site were the 3 that served them. And so they made sweet potato chips, fries, casserole. It was around Thanksgiving time.
Oh, that's
so
really cool.
They used them in really creative ways.
So I feel like I've definitely heard about Greenheart quite a bit the past couple of years, especially going to CFC and having friends that have participated.
Yeah.
How has it impacted you personally?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like I'm always talking about how this was just a really perfect fit as an organization for me. I kind of started getting into this work at my undergrad experience out in Berkeley, which is where the Edible Schoolyard was founded, and that's kind of what our model is based on. So I feel like it's always been a goal of mine to work in this field, and it's kind of a niche field. But being able to combine my passions for education, for social justice, sustainability, kind of the intersection of all of these different passion projects of mine was really cool. And it's just really interesting, meaningful work that we get to engage in every day. It's different every day. I love that. It's, you know, when working with kids and in schools and with gardens and food, there's so many different factors that can change up what we're doing. So it's always interesting. But watching the way it impacts not only our students, but the families and the community at large, and how it brings people together, that's a really cool piece of our organization.
So how would you say, like, it's impacted the community? Like, have you seen, like, a change in the community that you work in?
Yeah, and I'm crunching those numbers from this last year, but definitely. So kind of on a real basic level, we're seeing students' preferences change. So they are enjoying eating fruits and vegetables more. They are more willing to try new foods. They are bringing that home to their families. They're talking about Greenheart. They're sharing that knowledge, and in turn, getting their parents back involved in the programs. So yeah, we're kind of seeing the students act as a catalyst for that change. At a greater level, with more parental involvement in the schools, and we then connect, you know, our community members and our volunteers, we have these little communities that surround each school. And so I think our hope is that that will then spread out to the greater Charleston community. But yeah, I think we're talking about healthy food and nutrition and the environment and how that can all come to fruition in Charleston and kind of change some of these health outcomes these negative health outcomes that we have here in the Southeast.
So you mentioned you were passionate about, like, social justice and things like that. What do you think started that for you?
Yeah. I mean,
that's
I definitely, yeah, that's okay.
I knew you had a good one.
What started that passion for me? I mean, I think the desire to work towards social good and equality and equity and all kind of sorts of meanings of the word was instilled at me at a young age. But I'd say it was really cemented right after my undergraduate experience. I joined Teach for America, and so it's a 2-year teaching corps where they send you into usually low-income, low-access areas, and you know, to teach. And so these are schools where a lot of teachers traditionally don't want to go into. They don't pay as well, there's a lot of challenges, you don't have as much support, but the idea being, with this extra support, that you can make a difference and start and changing the system, impacting students' lives. So I think that's what really cemented that for me. Why I kind of transitioned out of the classroom was to have this greater community impact, because I saw my students coming in hungry and, or, you know, they'd eaten a bunch of sugar for breakfast and were crashing during my lesson. And there were all of these factors impacting my students outside of the classroom that I felt like I couldn't change. There was only so much I could change being in the classroom with them. So I kind of went the public health route and ended up here. But yeah, I think social justice is a huge part of what we do. It's definitely, like, organizationally something that we're always striving towards, trying to do better. I think it's important knowing the demographics of the communities that we work in and approaching that with cultural sensitivity and, you know, taking into account that I'm not from here, you know, and who am I to kind of come in and tell these students and families how to do something better. But I think by working together and taking a really sensitive approach and putting these communities and families in the driver's seat, that we can make some sustainable change together.
Yeah, it's definitely important to, I just think with kids in general, it's awesome for them to have positive role models to look up to, because sometimes that's not the case for them. And so just that alone is so awesome. But then you also not only have that, but you're also teaching them these ways to understand their bodies and understand how they're going to feel better as a person. And you're giving them a little bit of power in that too, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely. And we, so a few years down the road, and hopefully starting this summer, we are building an urban farm that will be our first non-school kind of garden site. And with that, we hope to expand to middle school and high school. And I think we, our plan is to expand our curriculum to outside of just the food, culture, health, and the environment. That will still be there, but we want to do it through a social justice, food justice lens. Mm-hmm. So we think as students get older, they have the capability of understanding more of the food systems and kind of those pieces that tie into why certain communities have poorer health outcomes than others and how we can start to change that.
So with those urban gardens, would you have like the middle school students and the high school students like come to them?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Like work days or something?
Yeah. So it'll be a new model. There's three schools immediately surrounding the new site, and so we hope to partner with them at first, but yeah, exactly, they would be coming to the farm for and using it as their school garden. And I think kind of like the MUSC urban farm as well, we would probably bring, you know, field trips. It would be a place for community building in addition to an educational farm.
Yeah, I definitely read this was probably a couple years ago, but it was some report that the UN released, and it was saying that one of the big things that's going to help mitigate climate change is urban farms and urban community gardens, because when you start growing your own food, it just takes so much out of the equation, you know?
Exactly. So. Yeah, yeah. And so that's something that, you know, we are one small piece of this bigger movement towards sustainable agriculture, kind of undoing this problematic industrial ag system that we've gotten ourselves into by giving the students and their families the education, the knowledge, the tools they need to grow their own food. But also we are building these urban gardens and just educating about the benefits of local, organic, sustainably grown food. So that's a big piece. And there's tons of partners that we work with in the area who are even more so on that, in that sector.
Yeah, I used to intern with Low Country Street Grocery, mobile farmers market, and they're really cool. And I started interning with them before like the bus was up and running. So a lot of my work was really looking into like the areas that are considered food deserts and like seeing what that looks like and like how those people, you know, like they don't really have healthy food options. So it's like, how do they go to the grocery store when there isn't one? And all that kind of stuff is really interesting, but also kind of sad and frustrating.
It's a huge problem. Yeah, food deserts, and I mean, even if there is a place to buy food, having to make the choice between feeding your family with this high calorie, low nutrient processed foods versus this very expensive vegetable that's not going to fill anyone up. And I think that our families and a lot of people in the Charleston community are having to make that choice daily. And by supporting local farmers, supporting Whole Foods, not as in the grocery store, but whole, healthy, nutritious foods, we are kind of voting with our dollar and putting pressure on the system to change what we as a country prioritize. So I think it can have these, it's hard to describe what we do quickly, because it has these effects that kind of boomerang out.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things going into it. I think that sums up a lot of it.
Yeah, I think you answered all our questions.
Great.
My one last question, I guess, would just be, has working with Greenheart changed your ideas, your perspective of sustainability at all? Or like what you think it is?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that I've been able to implement a lot of what I was doing on a personal level and share that with the students and families and with our program managers. Like, seeing the growth in our volunteers has also been really impactful, and we're trying to measure that this year as well. But not only the impact we're having on the students, but these adults and community members and college students that whose, you know, career trajectories might now be changed because of this. But I think the biggest thing is just the community aspect of it, of sustainability, and how much more powerful, stronger we are when we're together, and the impact that that can have. And I think that's maybe the most important thing to me of our mission and what we do, is building community around all of these topics, bringing people together over a meal in the garden, kind of in these moments where you really connect and talking about things that can really make a difference.
That's everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for meeting.
Thank you so much.
You can join us for more podcasts at synergies.cfc.edu.